Well, we've been checking in with United Way of Roanoke over the past few months as they work to raise money for the COVID-19 Community Response Fund, an initiative outside of the United Way's traditional annual fundraising. Once again, Abby Hamilton, President and CEO of United Way of Roanoke Valley, joins WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me this morning to talk about that and what they are hearing now from United Way's community partner agencies. Hi, Abby. Good to talk to you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, it's good to have you along, Abby. As we get started now, the last time, Abby, that we spoke, you had awarded $60,000, knowing that there would be another round of donations. Mm-hmm. Abby, if you would, give us an update on phase two of the fund, how much money you ended up raising, how many nonprofit organizations will share that total, and also, Abby, can you tell us about some of the agencies involved with phase two and or some of the needs they address?
Great, yeah. So I want to thank everybody who's been tuning in. I think as a response to the great news coverage that you gave us, we were actually able to raise, as of middle of this week, $194,000, a little over that. And so the team of volunteers throughout our region that have been charged with making the decisions on how to invest that fund actually awarded close to $105,000for phase two. And there are about 10 organizations that are going to be receiving that fund, and they are ranging in areas of need, addressing things that are going to be happening over the summer, you know, summer care, making sure that children and youth have some activities that they can do over the next few months, even as school lets out, rent and mortgage assistance and utilities that we know are going to be spiking as these eviction orders and utility cutoff orders are lifted. Definitely some areas around mental health. The last few months have been incredibly stressful for the community and for families and individuals. And so making sure that we are staying ahead of the curve and monitoring some of these things that are happening. And we've been incredibly blessed to have several agencies that have been working in those areas to address them.
Yeah. Hi, Abby. Good morning. This is Gene. Do you see mental health, you know, being even more of an issue going forward? You know, you even hear things about there's been rises in domestic abuse because yes, people have to, they're together more often than they normally would be. You know, just do you see where mental health issues and agencies that deal with mental health, that might be something that's even more prominent over maybe the next, you know, 3 to 6 months?
Definitely. I think we've seen, as you said, you know, a spike of a lot of anxiety, depression, as people are living in close quarters, perhaps increases also in domestic violence situations. So those were needs that were already in existence in the community to just heighten further. So one of the key areas that we are going to be addressing as part of phase two is really funding for the work that TAP is doing with their domestic violence services, with other supports that they are able to give victims of domestic violence in terms of having a safe place to be, you know, food and other supplies that they might be needing. And in addition to that, a great partner like Family Service that's going to be offering some mental health counseling and support for people that are struggling right now.
Right, and Arch Roanoke got some money for emergency services related to support and substance abuse treatment for women.
Yes.
Boys and Girls Club got a nice chunk, $30,000. And I know I heard Michelle Davis talk last week, the CEO, that you know, there's some concern when programs, especially, you know, programs that nonprofits that there's so much strain, it seems like, Abby, on programs that have to feed people, for one thing, in healthcare and childcare, I should say.
Yes. You know, I think the last few months of our community being shut down, you know, people not being able to do the normal things that they do or operate the programs that they used to do, really has put a strain in terms of, you know, people's ability to fundraise also. And so the COVID Response Fund has been truly a great resource that will allow programs like the Boys and Girls Club, Community Youth Program at St. John's, to operate during the summer. Otherwise, they would not have had the resources to be able to do that.
We're talking with Abby Hamilton, the president and CEO of United Way of Roanoke Valley. Was there much difference, Abby, between the money that was doled out after the phase one COVID Community Response Fund and phase two as far as the agencies that got the funding? Was there much difference? Is there a kind of a shift in the trend or anything?
Yes. So I think the idea really was to make sure that we were as nimble as we could be and that we were constantly monitoring what was going on in the community. So phase one was really very heavy on food access, access to PPEs, disinfectant, and other supplies that people actually needed just to get started, right, and to be able to kind of function daily. And now with 60 days under our belt, almost 60 days in that, so the next phase is going to be lasting through the summer. And so part of our challenge was going to be anticipating some of the needs that will happen. So we knew that mental health was going to be an ongoing issue going into the summer. And then rent, mortgage, and utility assistance is a heavy focus now. And then summer care, because we know that as businesses open, families are going to need that care for their children. And then I think one of the other areas, too, that we're going to be monitoring are things like specific populations, like if those impacted by domestic violence or substance abuse, that are specific pockets of populations that normally are not getting served.
Before I forget, are you still raising money for the COVID response community response fund? Will there be a phase three?
We will always take donations. And the team that has been in charge of reviewing these requests actually was very intentional about setting aside a pool of a little less than $30,000 so that we could respond to any other evolving needs in the community in the fall.
Right. So, but in other words, the community response fund itself may go away, but obviously you'll still take donations that will go towards a lot of these same partners.
That's correct.
I wanted to ask you about that reserve fund. Is that something you learned maybe, Abby, between the first and second phase, that you need to be even lighter on your feet, that things are going to come up maybe that you didn't think about?
Yes, and I think it probably just speaks to the type of environment that we're in, where it requires us to be incredibly nimble, to constantly monitor changes, and then to be able to respond and mobilize partners as quickly as we can. So by setting aside a little bit of that, we kind of recognize that things might look different come fall, and there might be challenges that we didn't see now and anticipate that will need another infusion of resources.
It's 8:51 at WFIR. We have our friend Abby Hamilton, President and CEO of United Way of Roanoke Valley, with us here this morning. Abby, what do you continue to learn from those conversations that you are having every week with 100 or so community partners? What are you hearing? What are you learning?
I think, you know, it's been a highlight of my personal highlight during the week to kind of have all of these partners together. And one of the things I think that we're learning together is the fact that it kind of reinforces that, you know, a lot of the needs that we are individually addressing as agencies truly are interrelated, and that when families are seeking assistance, they are going to rely on more than one of us. And so part of how we are challenged to operate in this new environment is to make sure that we are intentional about partnering and intentional at seeking ways that we can maximize resources that we have in our community. And then I think one of the things that we also kind of recognize are that there are themes that are going across the work that we're doing, things like mental health. So whether or not you're providing food or PPEs or you're providing rent and mortgage utility assistance, you have a role to play in making sure that people are checked on, that they feel socially connected, and that they have that type of support that's also incredibly critical for them moving forward.
You know, you mentioned, Abby, PPEs, and that seemed early on that was a real critical thing. Is that better now? Are there much less, fewer calls for masks and sanitizers? Is it getting better?
I think that we kind of addressed the first influx of need. I believe there's going to be another influx as businesses reopen. And, you know, even as going into the fall with schools, what we're doing with that, and with also after school care, I think there's going to be a next wave of PPE needs. So there's an active move in the community to specifically target distribution of masks and hand sanitizers to vulnerable populations. So key pockets and key neighborhoods that are high density and would have a higher incidence or would be more at risk of getting sick should they not be able to get some of these resources. So there's intentional outreach in that and also some collaborative public health education about why that's important and part of taking care of each other.
Right. We'll talk with Abby Hamilton, President and CEO of United Way of Roanoke Valley. And I wanted to ask you, do you see, there's so many people out of work, and even with, you know, we're coming into phase two now, there's some estimates that there's X amount of people, maybe 25% of people or so, will not go back to the jobs they have. Do you see more requests to help for funding with job training programs on the horizon, Abby?
Absolutely. I think we as a community are preparing for that. We know that there's going to be an influx of need, both in terms of making sure that people have the temporary support that they need to kind of stabilize their families during crisis, but making sure that they also have the necessary stepping stones and support to kind of get back into the workforce. So we're definitely monitoring that, looking at ways that we can complement employment training and supports with some of these other supports that will be needed by families as they try to get back on their feet.
Okay, we've got a couple of minutes left. I want to get this question in, Abby. You know, of course, a lot of the current conversation in this country is about circles around injustice, discrimination, equity. Do those issues fit in anywhere with the work of United Way does? Is that anywhere involved directly or indirectly with your work through partner agencies?
Definitely. You know, I think our mission as United Way has always been about, you know, bringing people together and making sure that we as a community are providing the types of opportunity, support, and resources that are foundational to the success of every family. And so part of our calling is to make sure that we elevate families to self-sufficiency. And that's grounded in the recognition that about 40% of families in our region are not in that position. And we also know and understand from listening to our community, working with our partners, and serving that a lot of the inequities that we're seeing are based on race, ethnicity, gender, and other biases that people have. And so it's incredibly tied into the core of every work that United Way does. You know, diversity, equity, inclusion, these are values that we hold dear. And we know that part of the role that we need to be playing moving forward is making sure that we collectively, and as United Way and as an organization, address some of the barriers that people have that are harming our entire community as well.
All right, we're talking with Abby Hamilton, President and CEO of United Way of Roanoke Valley. A little over a minute left. I want to ask you about the whole fundraising climate. Is it getting tougher? Is it going to get tougher, you know, as far as people that have X amount of money they want to spend to donate to this or that or organizations? talk about that. I hear a little bit of a laugh there, but talk about that climate.
Yeah, I think it's going to be harder. I think we all kind of recognize as nonprofits that the job will be harder going into this year. And all of us, I think, including United Way, from our perspective, we want to make sure that we can continue to be committed to diversifying our revenue sources. So not just through the traditional means of businesses and employers, but making sure that we mobilize individuals and people that we normally don't get to engage. And we've seen a great example of how that happens with the COVID Response Fund, and where people respond when they're given a specific and clear call to action. And I think the exciting part is that we get to provide a compelling message for people to continue to do that as part of recovery efforts for this entire community.
We'll ask a question about 20 seconds or so left. Does this sort of restore your faith in humanity, Abby, when you put this call out for funding the Response Fund? Does it kind of restore some of your faith?
Yes, absolutely. I think we live in a wonderful community, incredibly generous, lots of kindness and compassion. We have a great capacity to love and care for each other, and here's a great way for us to be able to do that by listening and starting with ourselves and uniting with our neighbors and supporting each other through this crisis.
All right, Abby Hamilton, President and CEO of United Way of Roanoke Valley. Abby, as always, thanks for joining us this morning. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.